Pride comes before the fall. Could have a whole new meeting. It's the news according to me. Well, good morning. Hey, calm the music down. The band gets a little bit excited sometimes. Over here. Speaking of the band, I'm gonna be making my own intro bumper music and outro music. So that's a project I'm gonna be working on the next couple weeks. Hopefully, have it done within the next couple weeks, because otherwise, I'm in week one here of my 3 weeks off, and it's just life. I'm just taking time off from life. But it seems like the work just never stops. I've got a lot of work to do in preparation for my next assignment in 3 weeks. In 2.5 weeks. That process is not without other things, because I have other jobs I do. I'm not just a one job pony. I have a. And it's weird because I just got other work just keeps coming in and I don't know what to do with it. Today I've got a pretty big client. I've got to deal with it around 2 o'clock this afternoon. And it's going to be, I don't do that work all the time anymore. And it's more of a skilled work that I do. And it's a little bit more tricky, because I kind of have to be on my toes for about an hour with, my abilities. It's a voiceover job. They call in and they give me direction over the phone. I like doing the kind of jobs where I can just kind of do it myself and give them a few takes, make it all sound pretty, and then I package it up and send it off. And if they want a correction, I just redo it whenever I feel like it. But when they call up and I have to perform on demand, typically there's 3 or 4 people on the phone. There's usually a director. That director will come on and say, "Okay, we want you to, you know, do this and read it like this." And they'll say, you know, they'll read it the way they, with all this emphasis and all this stuff in it. So I'll do it exactly. I'm very good at that. I'm very good at mocking people and impersonating. So I will say it exactly the way they say it. And then I can tell that they feel offended because they feel like they're being mocked. They feel like they're being made fun of. And they are, because it's, their way they're reading it is ridiculous. Now, William Shatner there's a really good video of him. He's doing a voiceover and these people are trying to tell him how to do it. And they're being very condescending with him. They're treating him like a 2-year-old, like he doesn't know what he's doing. And he comes back. I'll have to get that. I'll try to find that. I bet I could find it in a heartbeat here. It's on YouTube. And it's pretty good, because he comes back and he tells these people off. It is remarkable how he does it. And he just, in a classy way, he just completely excoriates them. And it's, let's see if I can find it here. Shatner, voiceover. Voiceover, what should I put in there? Williams, voiceover. I'll just put that in there. Shatner loses his recording. Here it is. Got over 1 million views. It's 4 minutes long. I don't want to. There's another one here. It's 3.5 minutes long. I think this is the only one where he's doing it. I'll find the one, and maybe we'll have it on tomorrow's live show. It's only about 3 or 4 minutes long. Pretty good. It's hilarious. He just lays into this guy. And without being mean, it's mean, but not, no, he's not cussing the guy out. he's being very professional about it, but letting the guy know he's way out of line and way out of his league. And it's really interesting. And that's the way some of these directors are. Now, I'm not saying that they're all that way, and I'm not saying I can't take correction or direction. That's 90% of the job when you got people on the line like that, is being able to take proper direction and being able to roll with whatever they want to do. That's a big part of it. But when they start coming back and asking you to do something that sounds unnatural, and then when you do it, they say, oh, that doesn't sound normal. It doesn't sound natural. Exactly. That's precisely my point. What you're telling me to do does not sound natural, but you want it to sound natural. And so when I do it that way, I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know how to tell you that. People don't talk like that. Now, Joe Biden, he sounds like this. I mean, it's ridiculous. So in my cup this morning, I have a cup full of voiceover lessons. I have a cup full of chai with, actually, I thought I had vanilla creamer. This is to tell you what kind of crappy creamer Starbucks puts out. It's Starbucks brand. I never even looked at it, actually. It actually is pumpkin spice creamer. I've been drinking this now all week, and I thought it was vanilla. It doesn't taste anything like pumpkin spice. I have had pumpkin spice, and this is not pumpkin spice. There's nothing pumpkin about it. So there you go. It is a Starbucks brand, which I have to say, even their chai, I'll get their chai once in a while just because I got nothing else to do, and I'll just go over and get a hot chai or an iced chai just because it's got that creamy taste. But it's like creamy cardboard. It just doesn't have a good taste to it. I don't know what it is about their chai. Now, I don't like the Indian chai, the Oregon chai, the West Coast spice chai. I hate spice chai. I just don't like it. And some of it is way too spicy. It's like it's not even refreshing at all. It's not a pleasant drink at all. Maybe if you eat it with a scone or something, maybe. Maybe it's okay. And I've got my backup sweet tea here. I was going to put in some. I was going to put some V8 Fusion peach mango fusion in this thing, but I didn't. I filled up my cup and I still had some left, and I just had a little bit left in the bottom of my pitcher, and I was like, I don't have enough in there. I was hoping I would have just enough to put like some in there, and then I could put some of the V8 Fusion in there, but I didn't have enough for that, so I filled it up with that, and I still have some tea left over. There's a lot more tea in the bottom of my pitcher than I realized. But that's good too. So I got two cups. So this is a two cup show. I usually only get through one cup by the time the show's over. So, really interesting moment of reflection this morning. Usually in the morning, I do some pondering. I call it pondering. It's my kind of my quiet time where I just kind of reflect on the day and reflect on, you know, the dreams I had last night, the crazy, sometimes wacky dreams I have at night. And then I have the whole moment of, you know, where does God want me today? Is there anything in particular that's on my heart, or anything that he's laying on my heart that I need to do or to say or to think or think, just whatever. I'm just open. I'm just open-minded, open-hearted. You know, just kind of lay it on me, God. What do you want to do? And usually what I hear is something like, that's what I usually hear. There's usually some tugs on my heart or some things, and usually there's some kind of revelation or some kind of illumination. I'll call it illumination, not really revelation. That's the distinction. There is minor, but it actually is a big deal. There's a difference between revelation and illumination. I believe that God has revealed all things to us. However, we don't see them. We choose not to see them. Like, it's kind of like he's revealed his son, Jesus, to his people, and they didn't see him. Why not? Because they haven't chosen to look. They're somehow blinded, and I don't understand that. It is so obvious when you do the Seder meal. It's all right there. And everything he said about to their face. One greater than Moses stands in your presence, and you don't even recognize him. I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, and yet he fulfilled everything. They had to have seen it. They just had to have seen it, but they didn't see it. It's just amazing to me. So they weren't illuminated. They weren't. The revelation was there. They just didn't see it. They didn't choose to. They chose not to see it. For whatever reason, because of religiousness, probably. It can blind people quite considerably sometimes. There's a part of a church one time that had a church plant from within the church. It was a young adult movement. I believe it may have shut down now. It was going for quite a few years. I don't think it's still. It became a small group for a while, and then it kind of lost its steam with the leadership. It kind of changed, and it basically kind of started going away at that point. Awesome people in charge. I mean, I have a lot of respect for them, but they didn't. Part of the thing that I think that was the pinning of the church or the foundation of the church had an issue, and I'm just going to put this out there. One of the things that they established the church on was that they wanted to be the unchurch. They didn't want to have anything traditional. They wanted to stay away from anything religious, which at first worked really well, but then the anti-religiousness became a religion for them. Well, we can't do it that way because that's the way everybody else does it. It became the way, it's kind of like, you know, George Costanza with, I'm going to do the opposite of everything else I've ever been inclined to do. Well, there's a reason for some traditions, and sometimes traditions are, there's nothing wrong with tradition. The Bible is full of tradition. Every year, there were feasts and festivals that spoke of something that had a message and a meaning, and we have to repeat ourselves several times, and we have to do things over and over because guess what? We don't learn the first time, or we don't get it. We don't remember it if we don't keep reminding ourselves. That's just part of the Jewish mindset, the Hebrew mindset, the circular historical things that happen. Now, this group, you know, they even started at a weird time. But they didn't want to do anything traditional. And they didn't realize, I don't think, that they were actually being influenced, right, not by God. Now, that their initial thought was, okay, we want to be out there, we want to be out of the box, think outside of the box, let God do what he wants, let's do something other than what, you know, the other people, which is admirable. But at the same time, that becomes your driving point. Are you led by the Spirit, or are you led by this mission to be the opposite, or to be the undoing of the traditional way of doing things? That became their guiding rule. And now, I'm not saying that was their undoing. I'm not saying that's what they were all about. Everything else, ministry-wise and everything else that they were doing was pretty much on track, but there was always this kind of, you could kind of tell there was always this kind of a pushback to anything that might look like traditional church. And they were, for the most part, they were open to spiritual gifts, spiritual moving, hearing God, exercising the gifts for the most part. However, I think there had been some burned experiences in the past. I think there were some issues there. There's just a lot of issues. And I think that whole thing kind of fizzled out at some point. The excitement was gone. People started, rather than just being young adults, single adults who could do anything at any time, they were all of a sudden they started getting married and started having kids and realizing it's hard to fit church in with, you know, this radical off the cuff thing that we have all the time. And most of them ended up going to a Sunday morning church eventually. The ones who remained with the faith, that is, stayed with any kind of church at all. So I don't know where they are with their faith. I guess I don't know how they're connected to the body. So it's interesting how all this stuff happens. Now, I don't know where I was going with all that. This morning I was thinking about this stuff, and you know, there's this huge push, and the most recent one I heard was probably the most disgusting and heart-sickening, because I have someone in my family who has Down syndrome. And you have to understand, now I don't get to spend much time with him. He doesn't live in my area. And that kind of individual, for me to connect with them and for them to connect with somebody, you really have to be in their life actively all the time. And it's very difficult to maintain a relationship with someone with Downs that doesn't have that. I just feel like you got to be there. Your presence is a big deal. And I'm not. And so it's a little bit difficult for me to be very connected to him, even when we go visit them, because maybe once a year, twice a year. That's difficult. However, I know enough of him, and I've seen enough of him, and I've been around them enough. I know the family. I know how it is how it's been for them to raise this child. Now I think he might be 20 years old now, but he's, he's at least 19, I believe. I don't know. There's a movement now. You would have thought this would have been coming out of San Francisco. I don't think it is actually in San Francisco. I wouldn't have been so shocked. I can't remember where the place is that this is happening. It was on Mark Dice. Let me see if I can find this. It's got to be here. Let's go here. Oh, I didn't want to do that. No, why I did that. Why did I do that? There we go. No, that's not what I want. Why in the world is this not coming up? There we go. All right. This was on Mark Dice this morning. He was talking about where to go. It's about the Pride movement. It's not here for some reason. Should be right here on top of things because it was this morning. Oh, here it is. I don't know where this is. I'm gonna open this and see. So I can find out where this is. He's going to say here in just a second. See where this is going to be. I guess it's just on social media. I'm not sure where the location is where they're doing this, but they're doing it on social media. Now they're convincing Down syndrome kids to dress up in drag. And this whole thing of Pride. I guess what's happening now in the schools is they're having Pride Month or whatever they're going to have after Black History Month, which I'm going to talk about that as well. But the Pride Month thing, what they're doing is they're convincing kids, well, you should just be proud of who you are. This is Pride Month. We're just going to call it Pride Month to be proud of who you are. Well, of course, if you walked up and said, I am a white Christian man and I'm proud of that. Oh, you're a bigot. See, because then you're a bigot. You can't be proud of that. But this whole idea, these thoughts went through my head of what are they really trying to do here? You know, initially it was just acceptance. We just need to accept them. You know, let them be. Let them live their lives. Let them get married. Let them be normal in their lives. Let them live normal lives. You know, adopt children. Have a little family like the Pete Buttigieg folks. By the way, Pete Buttigieg is, the more I understand his psyche and the way he is and his intelligence level, he's a very evil man. In his background, if you look into where his parents came from and his philosophies, his ideas, the way he argues points and the way he says things is so deceptive. He is incredibly deceptive. He will eventually be a Democrat candidate for president. I think he will actually win a primary at some point in his life. Probably. He has failed miserably as a transportation secretary, so of course they got to give him a promotion to let him do something else. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes vice president somehow, and then, and so, you know. And it's the word that came to me this morning that I don't know if this was just a, I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden, the word that was popped into my heart was, pride comes before the fall. Now, they're talking about Pride Month as just being a accepted in the schools. In fact, there's a football team that they're going to have a football game at some school, some big school somewhere, high school. It's the high school game. They're going to have Pride Week at their school, and they're going to have a game where all the players have to wear a Pride jersey. If they don't wear the Pride jersey, they cannot play ball. They cannot play in that game if they don't wear that jersey. This should be alarming to most. I think if I were a parent there, my kids would not go to that school. I'd be done. In fact, I would probably move out of the district. I don't want my tax dollars going there. This is the kind of thing. Okay, let's you know, so just, this is just like Carrie Lake the other day. She sat down during the Black National Anthem at the Super Bowl, and the left's, their heads exploded because they didn't like the fact she didn't stand up for the Black National Anthem, because now, of course, now she's a bigot. She's a racist. She didn't respect the Black National Anthem. So now the next thing's going to be a gay national anthem. And another, you know, there's something else on top of that. There's just always going to be something, something else. And then should there be a Jewish national anthem, a Muslim national anthem? Somebody else made this point the other day. Very good point, and that's why I'm bringing it up. They kind of stimulated the thought on this one. At what point do you just continue to have all these national anthems and everybody has to stand up, unless it's a white man national anthem? See, and her point was, and the statement she made after this picture was posted, and I think she even posted the picture herself on her, wherever she posted on social media. Her point was, the national anthem is for everyone. We should come together as a nation, not be divided as a nation. And she stands, and this, you know, this is after, how many times did Colin Kaepernick kneel for the anthem? The one anthem that supposedly we should all unite as Americans, as U.S. citizens. There's a really good panel I was listening to. This guy was a black man. He was on this show, and he was, you know, I think it might have been on Vice. He was on there, and he was being asked these questions, and they were asking him things about, aren't you proud to be an African American or whatever. He said, I'm an American. He goes, when we go to war, we go as Americans. We go, you know, we don't fight for Black America. We fight for America. He goes, I want to be called an American. I want to be an American. I happen to be Black. I happen to be African American. Whatever. But I think we need to understand that we're Americans. He made the point much better than I can. I can't emulate the passion and the spirit he had behind it. It was much more articulate than what I'm being. Now, if I had been in the audience, I would have screamed, "Thank you! This is common sense. This is normal thinking. This is somebody who's actually taken a pause and thought about the whole process here." I wouldn't have screamed all that. I would just scream the "thank you" part. And it amazes me when the left does this kind of, they're very sneaky and tricky about this stuff. Now, if you listen to anybody who has come from a communist country, who has been through the conversion of a country turning to Marxism or communism, collectivism, really, if you've ever talked to anybody who's done that, been through that process, There's an expatriate from North Korea who recently said that they're seeing what's happening on college campuses here, and it is identical to the coercion and propaganda that they were getting in the colleges and the school system and the training that they were getting in the school educational system in North Korea. The tactics, the way they operate is exactly the same. If they don't like something that you believe, that you want to do, you're a fascist. But they want to impose their morals, their standards, their train of thought, their traditions, their whatever that is they want to do. They want to impose that on you, and if you object to it, you're the fascist. There's a current gun legislation right now out by DeSantis in Florida. He wants to have constitutional carry. You don't have to have a permit to carry a sidearm. You can open carry or carry concealed, either one. You don't have to have a concealed carry permit. It's just you have the right to bear arms. Bear means carry. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Keep means own. Bear means carry. It doesn't say carry concealed. It doesn't say carry. It doesn't say how you have to carry them. Well, you have to open carry. No, it doesn't say open carry. You're infringing on my right to carry by telling me I have to keep it exposed. Well, you have to have it exposed, but if you have it exposed, you have to make sure that you got your clip can't be in the gun. You can't have it armed. You can't have any bullets in the gun. This is an infringement. Like it or not, that's my right. You don't have to carry, but it's my right to carry. Period. You want to see my permit? Go read the Constitution. Now, if I had, probably when I get older and I don't care anymore about what they do to me, I'll probably start just carrying anytime I want to. And if they want to throw the book at me and throw me in jail or do whatever they want to do to me. So the problem is if you carry, this is where they get you. If you do carry, if you exercise your right to carry and they catch you carrying, exercising your right, they will say you've committed a felony and you can't carry anymore. You can't have a gun anymore. Because felons can't have guns. You see the circular firing squad we have going on here. this is the way they want to work it. Getting back to the whole Down syndrome thing, they're convincing these young men that they need to dress up in drag. It'll be fun. You'll enjoy it. These men have the mind of a child. They might have a fully grown adult-sized body. But that is not where they are emotionally and developmentally. They are very innocent and very pliable, very influential. Influenceable. They're not influential. Influenceable. You can influence them very easily. And they're just, talk about having a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea. That would be better for you than what's going to happen for taking kids down this road. Now, the whole pride thing, it took on a whole different meaning. Now, I don't know what the fall looks like, but I really felt like God stuck that in my heart. Pride comes before the fall. Is it the fall of our nation? Is it the fall of the movement? Is it the fall of society in general? Or what is it the fall of? I don't know. But all you have to do is a small search in Scripture about what God says about pride and humility. And you'll find out pretty quickly how God feels about all those things. So, let's talk about some other things, now that I got that out of the way. James Clapper, until the extreme left turn here. I've been saying this for a long time. The letter that was sent on James Clapper, the reason I'm talking about James Clapper is because he was recently brought up in an email or a post, I guess, an article by Politico, I think it was. And then there was Wall Street or Washington Post, whatever it was, New York Times, something, I don't know what it was. One of those, it was one of more of a left, I think it was Washington Post, maybe. More of a left-leaning paper rag, they call them. This guy, apparently, you know, he was the top signer of the 51 intelligence agents who said that the laptop, the Hunter Biden laptop, had all the earmarks of Russian disinformation campaign. Now, let me be very clear here. He never said that way in the statement about the article that it was Russian disinformation. However, in an interview, he said he believes it is Russian disinformation. He didn't say he believes it has all the earmarks. He said he believes it is. For instance, he said it has no metadata. He was being interviewed by this person on CNN, I believe. Maybe it may have been MSNBC. It was a female interviewer. I just heard it this morning. I didn't record it. He's being interviewed, and she asks him if this is real or not. And he says, no, this is Russian disinformation. If I was a Russian operative, this is right down their alley. 2 weeks right before an election, 2 weeks before an election, this just all of a sudden shows up. This guy was the head of the DNA, or DNI, DNA, whatever it is, DNI, DNA. He's the head of your DNA. He's the head of the DNI, I believe. It was he might have been in some other things as well. I think he was also involved in the CIA for a while. Somehow he worked his way up to the head of the Department of National Intelligence, or whatever it is. Now, in the process of all of this, he has continued to say that, you know, he went through this whole process of getting all these former national intelligence agents to sign this letter. He comes out and says that it was 2 weeks before the election that this laptop popped up. Oh, no, sir, it was not. You are lying through your teeth, and you know he had to have known this. The FBI had that laptop and those hard drives over 9 months prior to the election. And they sat on it and said nothing. They did nothing. When they were finally asked about it, the only comment they made was, it's part of an ongoing investigation, we can't talk about it. We shouldn't even be saying, we don't even like to say there's an investigation going on. We really can't confirm or deny there's an investigation going on. This is a political hack job. Now they're saying, well, that's probably, you know, Hunter's laptop, probably his stuff, but all those emails in there, there's no metadata. There's no metadata on those emails that you can easily find. He throws that little disclaimer in there at the end. No metadata, really. Part of the reason there's no metadata is because a lot of the emails that are in there were copied and pasted. You don't have metadata when you do that. It's just the current date that it was implanted onto the hard drive is all you get. All you get is the text. Some of them were directly saved to that hard drive. And there is metadata on some of them. Now, when you save an email, when you just go to your email. I'm going to go to my email right now. I'm going to go to my email here. Let's see. I want to look. There's an email from Lowe's Home Improvement. Well, what do I want to do with this? What an email here. Let's forward it. What can I do with this? I can forward it to, I can send it to a file. Let's see here. Yeah, let's just do this. Let's put it here. Push this there. Priority, put over here. I can save it. I can attach this. I can do that. And I can send it to my files. So I'm going to do, I'm going to send it to my files. Sending it to my files, and guess what's going to happen? It just shows up as an email. And now I'm looking at the data behind it. All it says is saved, last edited, February 16th, 2023, at 9:37 a.m. How convenient. That's all it says. Created by, then it's got all my information in there. This is the kind of thing that this guy is supposedly the expert, national intelligence, director of national intelligence. No idea what he's talking about. No clue. No idea. I'm going to do this again. I'm going to do this as a save as now. We're just going to go to save as. Let's go to documents. Save it in my documents here on my thing here. So it's going to do this. Let's save it there. And I'm going to go over here. I'm going to look at it over here again. This just going to try a couple different ways of doing this. You know, James Clapper, while he's sitting around eating lunch, could come up with this kind of information here. So I'm going to go ahead and open this. See what it says here. See how this works. I'm going to click on it. See if it opens. Now the metadata on this one, it just says today. Information created today, 9:37 a.m. Modified 9:37 a.m. Show more. Nope. Content modified. Tags. No tags. More. Let's go to more. No, can't customize anything. I can customize things on there. It's got more stuff on here. It's got the basic layout of everything in there. It's got the text. What kind of text document it is. We've got all the data from the date, February 16th, at 9:59 a.m. It was sent to me. It was sent to my address. It has all the facial. It's got the Lowe's reply. It's got all the information in there. .com. All this stuff's on there. This is all the information that's in the email. This is called metadata. Apparently, of course, now I'm going to pull up the email itself here as a file. Shows everything that's there. And then I can go to inspect and check it out. Show properties. Nothing. No metadata on this. It must have been from the Russians. This Lowe's home improvement store is nothing but a Russian front. This is the kind of ridiculousness that we're faced with these people. Director of National Intelligence. Again, we didn't even know they had these kinds of balloons. Chuck Schumer goes on a Sunday morning. We didn't even know they had these kind of balloons. Come to find out, Chucky was lying through his teeth as well. You know, if you lie to Congress, you can be sent to jail. In my opinion, if the Congress lies to the American people, and here's the reason. The reason is because you're lying to the American people. You're lying to the representatives of the people. You cannot lie to the representatives of the people, and you're sent to jail. That's how serious they take this stuff. If I go before Congress and I lie to them, they can throw me in jail. But they can lie all they want. You're an elected official. You're representing the people. That means you're lying on behalf of the people. You should be sent to jail 10 times more. He sits up there in his little chair and he says, oh, we got all this information. We got all this. We were watching how they were maneuvering it. Because we don't know how to operate a balloon. That's way beyond our abilities. Now we're out there shooting down weather balloons, apparently. Shooting everything down that they can see in the sky. Ridiculous overreaction, knee-jerk reaction to try to make Joe Biden look tough now. So Chuck Schumer's up there telling us, we didn't even know about this thing until just a few weeks ago. And we didn't even know about this, that they even had these. Come to find out, some people in the DOD recently come out and said, excuse me, we watched them launch that balloon from China. We watched them launch it from our satellites. We knew that thing was heading our way a long time. We could have blown it up as soon as it got outside of their waters, outside of their national territorial zone. We didn't do it. Now, I get it. If they want to pretend like, oh, we're just dumb and stupid, we don't know any better. I get it. If that's part of our strategy, is to say that we don't know anything about it. We can't track this kind of stuff. We can't track their hypersonic missiles. We don't know where they're going. They're untraceable. We don't know what's going on with them. Now, there's a couple different theories here. One is the perception of we want to play stupid and they know we're playing stupid. They know we can take them down. Or we really can't take them down and we want to pretend like we can take them down. Well, we're just going to blow them out of the sky. We have the technology to blow them out of the sky. Top secret. Tippy top. It's at the tippy top secret. So all this stuff is happening. And we're supposed to believe, who knows what to believe anymore? They come out and act like we're balloon stupid. And missile smart, I guess. It's just... The stupidity of this whole thing goes on and on and on. But the problem here is that they're lying to the American people. Just flat out lying. And you got James Clapper, who looks like a cartoon character, typical government official. Every time the FAA shows up, when I was out flying around, and the FAA would show up, some guy would be out walking around on the ramp. And typically they'll walk around with their badges all tucked in their pocket because they want to see if you're going to challenge them. Hey, you're not wearing your ID. Thanks for challenging me. I'm with the FAA. They pull out their badge like, oh, good job there, little camper. Yeah, whatever. Look, I didn't shoot you. If I'd had a gun, I'd just shot you. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't have done that. I just pistol whipped him a little bit for not having a badge. So the badges, we don't need no stinking badges. So we have, but every time I would see somebody out on the ramp, or in the terminal, who looked like a cartoon character. I assumed they were with the FAA, and sure enough, they'd show up on the airplane. I'm here to inspect your stuff, and I'm here to give you a ramp check. Okay. Great. Thank you very much, sir.
That's all, folks. See you later.
I'm not... I know some FAA folks that are really dang good people. They really are. They're doing the job because they might have a medical issue or whatever else is going on in their life. They were pilots, love being pilots. Maybe they've retired as pilots and they're just hanging out there trying to do their thing, trying to make the FAA a better place. And I love those guys. They're realistic. They're down to earth. They've been there. They've been through it. They're not the guys who started off at 25 years old, got in the FAA, and have a power trip on their shoulder. If that's a thing, a power trip on your shoulder. I don't know. On your shoulder. Soldier. A power trip on your soldier. Maybe I probably should have a breathalyzer test here this morning. Yeah, that's the one thing. You don't have to be sober to do a podcast. I don't know if you know that. And I don't drink, but that is something. You have to be sober to drive. You don't have to be sober to do a podcast. Just putting that out there for you. You also don't have to be sober to listen. So if you're inebriated right now, good for you. Unless you're driving or flying a plane. Or driving a boat, or operating heavy equipment. Anyway, or if you're, fixing like a hole in a leather seat or something, that's, you may want to be sober for that. I still have quite a bit of chai here, and I've got 15 minutes left to show. I think I got more than 15 minutes left to chai. I have to start drinking more. Try more. We're on another subject now. Okay, so all this stuff is going on. Now I want to move along from the James Clapper thing. But however, the idea here is that they're trying to play this off now. They're trying, and the reason they know is that there's this weaponization committee that Jim Jordan is heading up in Congress. They're coming after these guys. They're going to be calling James Clapper and Christopher Wray and all these guys back up there again. Of course, we're not going to hear anything because it's an ongoing investigation. Oh, it's an internal investigation. It's an internal employee matter. That's the whole purpose of this investigation that Congress is doing, buddy. We're investigating you. We want answers and accountability from you. And it's the American people who want it. Period. You answer to us, buddy. You understand? Somebody has got to get the gall, the guts, the fortitude to stand up to these guys and say, Congress needs to put something in place to hold this branch of our government bureaucracy in check. No more funding. Lindsey Graham always gets up there. First thing he'll say is, you guys got enough money? Everything's going okay? Now, I know what he's doing. I understand what he's doing. I always wondered about this because I saw him do this a couple times. Like, what are you doing? What are you, act like you're being pally-pally. Like you guys need any more money? Should we give you some more money? First thing he'll come out of his mouth, you guys doing okay over there? You got enough money? You got enough funding? You got everything you need? Now, I think what he's actually doing is he's playing the mafia boss. Because, by the way, Lindsey Graham is a sleazy snake. I don't know who keeps voting for him. All I can say, I think he's from South Carolina. And you folks in South Carolina, please. You can do better than Lindsey Graham. I am sure of it. And I realize he's got a lot of power in that state. Every time he runs for president, he gets like 1% of the primary vote. Not even that. Tells you something about the guy. Because outside of his state, he's nobody. But he's on Hannity every night. By golly. They're always palling around. So, Lindsey Graham. Where was I even going with this? I get myself worked up in such a tizzy. I don't even know what a tizzy is. What is a tizzy? Let's find out. What is a tizzy? I'll type it in YouTube and see what I get. TikTok creators, truth about Tizzy. Oh, there's apparently a guy named Tizzy. That's great. Yeah, ex-Tizzy, whatever. All right, I'm not going to find anything out there. I'll at least type it in here. What is a Tizzy? Not to be distracted by. What is a Tizzy? Tizzy definition and meaning. Merriam-Webster's definition of a Tizzy. Tizzy definition and meaning. Here we go. A highly excited and distracted state of mind. Well, that describes my life completely right there. That's my life. Highly excited and distracted state of mind. There you go. Oh, there you go. Sent his audience into a tizzy. Yeah, there's some examples here of tizzy. There you go. Now you've learned something today. See, not only is this a entertaining show, it's also educational. So now you've learned something. So now when you say I worked myself into a tizzy, you know what you've done. So it's a highly excited and distracted state of mind. So having been distracted, now I don't know what I was talking about. I believe I was talking about something. Pretty sure I was, but I don't know what it was. The whole DNI, FBI, the whole thing with that whole thing. So the FBI had this laptop for a long time, knowing full well it was real. They were protecting Joe Biden. They are protecting themselves now because this whole thing has come out. And, of course, they're going to be called to account, supposedly. And in my opinion, there needs to be real accountability somehow. Now, Lindsey Graham comes out. He asks these people initially. He always starts off with this whole thing of, you guys need any funding over there? I think what he's doing, I don't know for sure. I think what he's doing is he's playing the mob boss, like I said. What he's trying to do is say, well, you know, we're the ones who control your funding, buddy. We're the ones who control your funding. You guys need any more money? Well, we give it and we can take it away. I think that's what he's doing. I hope that's what he's doing. Maybe. Reminding them where their sustenance comes from. Hey, we're the ones that control the purse strings. You guys want to play ball? You guys need any more money, by the way? You guys got enough funding over there? Well, we need a little more funding. No, we're fine on funding, sir. No, we're fine on funding. Oh, really? Because we can take it away. What you do have, we can take away. I think it's his attempt to remind them who controls the purse strings. I don't know for sure. If it is what he's doing, it tells you something about Lindsey Graham, by the way. Personally, how I would do that, I would come out and I would say, sir, I'd like to remind you this Congress controls your budget. We can defund you. Now, would you like to answer some questions for us, please? That's the way I would treat it. I would just be straight up with the guy. I wouldn't pretend like I'm his buddy. I'm going to give him some funding if he needs it. I just tell him straight out. That way the American people understand what you're doing. Don't be sneaky and conniving about it. That tells you something about Lindsey Graham right there. Be straight up. This idea of, I'm just going to sneak around here and just going to give you a little innuendo. No, you don't need to do that. Senator Kennedy doesn't do that. And that guy straight up just tells them like it is. This hearing isn't going well for you. He'll make those kinds of comments. Cruz is the same way. Now, Jordan, I like Jordan, but Jordan has a tendency to, he's a little bit tough to, he doesn't communicate quite as well. He always has this excited timbre in his voice, and it's a little bit, what's the word? Is it hyperbolic? I don't know if that's the right word to use or not. It's a little bit over the top sometimes. And I have the feeling it tends to get a little bit repetitive. Because whenever he starts talking about his theory of how things went down, it always breaks into this certain tone. It has a certain excitability about it. And he doesn't explain it. I think it all sounds the same. It starts to sound the same. When he was talking about the FISA court issues, he would always say it the same way. He'd always go through the same process, always had the same timbre in his voice, and always ended on the same note. And then he would talk about the Hunter Biden laptop, and he'd do the same thing. He'd start going through this whole thing. I think they did this, and it is. I think that if he had a better way of communicating that, he's communicating it very articulately. I mean, in terms of getting the truth out there, the problem is I think the timbre and the tone has a tendency to start sounding like, wah, 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 wah. I'm not trying to be funny about it. I'm trying to be, you know, realistic about his technique here. And that's not to say anything bad about his character or about anything. He's doing an awesome job. That's one thing I wish he could improve on. Was his ability to convey the story and get it across so people will actually listen. He's very undramatic. There's no drama in what he says, which I think if he just had a touch of the dramatic effect, like a pause here and there, or some different intonation in some places, I think that would be helpful. It's just my opinion. What do I know? I'm just a guy with a quarter cup of chai and a microphone. So, once again, folks, tomorrow morning, I'm kind of excited. Tomorrow morning is going to be a live broadcast, and I think it's going to be a pretty good day. This week has gone pretty well. I have a few other things I need to do. The big thing today is getting this voiceover thing out of the way, and then the rest of the day is going to be study and practice and study, more studying for this stuff I got coming up. And then tomorrow morning, I'm going to be putting together the show this evening. I've got some stuff I got to do. I'm part of a band, and we're going to have a practice tonight. And it's a worship band thing I'm doing this week. And it's next week I'll be actually leading worship in another church next weekend, not this weekend, but the following. And I've got a little group we meet on Friday nights. Tomorrow night I gotta do a little thing too. But it's And I said, I'm a busy guy. So I just realized this. I didn't realize I was such a busy guy. But tonight, this evening, I'm hoping to plan out some things for the show tomorrow morning. Really want to hit it off with a bang because the next three Fridays, possibly four Fridays, the next four Fridays, actually into March, first week of March, I may actually, the second week of March, I'm sorry. I may actually be able to have a live show on that Friday as well. Now, after that, it's all up in the air. I don't know what's going to happen after that. I have a feeling for the last half of March, April, and probably into May, my life is going to be a whirlwind. I'm just hoping to be able to get my boat moved at some point at the end of April. That's what I'm hoping. So I'd like to have the whole month of May with my boat in the water, hopefully this year. That's my big plan. Got big plans for it. So anyway, that's the plan. Once again, folks, I'm going to end the show here. And I'm going to give you my thanks for listening. Thanks for just letting me spout off for a little while. Share my opinions, regardless of whether they're right or not. I don't know. Who knows? But I got some. So I'm just going to share them because that's what I do. It's my therapy. This is my thank you for being a part of my therapy as I sit here on the couch and share my life with you. Once again, folks, I hope you've had a great week and I hope you have a great weekend coming up. I know I'm looking forward to the weekend this weekend and got a few plans, a few good things to do. Kind of looking forward to that. Looks like the weather today is going to be rainy all day, so I'm just going to be inside working on things today. But it's possibly snow later on, I guess. So that's the weather forecast here. Once again, folks, pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray that God will expose the truth and the lies. Illuminate the truth and expose the lies. God bless everybody. Have a great day.